Slim Lemke, said to Lenore. May we carry you too? And Lyle answered, Sure, why not? And still Yagi fought for chance to. Most men were pressure-suited, and I was surprised to see how many carried guns. Until I saw that they were not our guns, they were captured. But most of all, was blessed relief to see El City unhurt. Could have done without triumphal procession. Was itching to get the phone to find out from Mike what had happened. How much damage, how many killed, what this victory cost. But no chance. We were carried to Old Dome willy-nilly. They shoved us up on a platform with proof and rest of cabinet, and VIPs and such. And our girl slobbered on proof, and he embraced me Latin style. Kiss cheek, and somebody stuck a Liberty cap on me. Spotted little Hazel in crowd, and threw her a kiss. At last they quieted enough for proof to speak. My friends, he said, and waited for silence. My friends, he repeated softly. Beloved comrades, we meet at last in freedom, and now have with us the heroes who fought the last battle for Luna alone. They cheered us. Again he waited. Could see he was tired. Hands trembled as he steadied himself against pulpit. I want them to speak to you. We want to hear about it. All of us. But first, I have a happy message. Great China has just announced that she is building in the Himalayas an enormous catapult to make shipping to Luna as easy and cheap as it has been to ship from Luna to Terra. He stopped for cheers, then went on. But that lies in the future. Today, oh, happy day. At last the world acknowledges Luna's sovereignty. Free. You have won your freedom. Proof stopped, looked surprised. Not afraid, but puzzled. Swayed slightly. Then he did die. 30. The last chapter. We got him into a shop behind platform, but even with help of a dozen doctors was no use. Old heart was gone, strained too many times. They carried him out back way, and I started to follow. Stu touched my arm. Mr. Prime Minister? I said, huh? Oh, for bug's sake. Mr. Prime Minister? He repeated firmly. You must speak to the crowd. Send them home. Then there are things that must be done. He spoke calmly, but tears poured down cheeks. So, I got back on platform and confirmed what they had guessed and told them to go home, and wound up in room L of Raffles, where all had started. Emergency cabinet meeting. But first ducked the phone, lowered hood, punched Mycroft XXX. Got null number signal. Tried again. Same. Pushed up hood, and said to man nearest me, Wolfgang, aren't phones working? Depends, he said. That bombing yesterday shook things up. If you want an out-of-town number, better call the phone office. Could see self-asking office to get me a null. What bombing? Haven't you heard? It was concentrated on the complex. But Brody's boys got the ship. No real damage. Nothing that can't be fixed. Had to drop it. They were waiting. I didn't know what to do, but Stu and Krasakov did. Shini was told to write news releases for Terra and rest of Luna. I found self announcing a lunar of mourning, 24 hours of quiet. No unnecessary business. Giving orders for body to lie in state. All words put in the mouth. I was numb. Brain would not work. Okay. Convene Congress at end of 24 hours. In Novelin? Okay. Shini had dispatches from Earthside. Wolfgang wrote for me something which said that, because of death of our president, answers would be delayed at least 24 hours. At last was able to get away with Wyo. A still Yagi guard kept people away from us to Ismenlok 13. Once home, I ducked into workshop on pretense of needing to change arms. Mike? No answer. So tried punching his combo into house phone. Null signal. Resolved to go out to complex next day. With proof gone, needed Mike worse than ever. But next day was not able to go. Transcrisium tube was out. That last bombing. You could go around through Torricelli and Novolin and eventually reach Hong Kong. But complex, almost next door, could be reached only by Rulligan. Couldn't take time. I was government. Managed to shuck that off 2 days later. By resolution was decided that Speaker Finn had succeeded to presidency after Finn and I had decided that Wolfgang was best choice for prime minister. We put it through, and I went back to being congressman, who didn't attend sessions. By then, most phones were working, and complex could be called. Punched Mycroft XXX. No answer. So, went out by Rulligan. Had to go down and walk tube last kilometer, but complex under didn't seem hurt. Nor did Mike appear to be. But when I spoke to him, he didn't answer. He has never answered. Has been many years now. You can type questions into him, in Loughlin, and you'll get Loughlin answers out. He works just fine, as a computer, but won't talk, or can't. Wyo tried to coax him, then she stopped. Eventually, I stopped. Don't know how it happened. Many outlying pieces of him got chopped off in last bombing. Was meant, I'm sure, to kill our realistic computer. Did he fall below that critical number it takes to sustain self-awareness? If he such, was never more than hypothesis. Or did decentralizing that was done before that last bombing kill him? I don't know. If it was just a matter of critical number, well, he's long been repaired. He must be back up to it. Why doesn't he wake up? Can a machine be so frightened and hurt that it will go into catatonia and refuse to respond? While ego crouches inside, aware but never willing to risk it? No, can't be that. Mike was unafraid, as gaily unafraid as proof. Years. Changes. Mimi long ago opted out of family management. Anna is mom now, and Mimi dreams by video. Slim got Hazel to change name to Stone. Two kids, and she studied engineering. All those new free-fall drugs.
And nowadays earthworms stay 3 or 4 years and go home unchanged.
And those other drugs that do almost as much for us. Some kids go earthside to school now. And Tibet catapult. Took 17 years instead of 10. Kilimanjaro job was finished sooner. One mild surprise. When time came, Lenore named Stu for opting, rather than Wyo. Made no difference. We all voted da. One thing not a surprise, because Wyo and I pushed it through during time we still amounted to something in government. A brass cannon on a pedestal in middle of old dome, and over it a flag fluttering in bluer breeze. Black field speckled with stars. Bar sinister in blood. A proud and jaunty brass cannon embroidered over all. And below it, our motto, Tannstaffel. That's where we hold our 4th of July celebrations. You get only what you pay for. Proof knew and paid, gaily. But Proof underrated Yammerheads. They never adopted any of his ideas. Seems to be a deep instinct in human beings for making everything compulsory that isn't forbidden. Proof got fascinated by possibilities for shaping future that lay in a big, smart computer, and lost track of things closer to home. Oh, I backed him. But now I wonder. Are food riots too high a price to pay to let people be? I don't know. Don't know any answers. I wish I could ask Mike. I wake up at night, and I think I've heard him. Just a whisper. Man? man, my best friend. But when I say Mike, he doesn't answer. Is he wandering around somewhere, looking for hardware to hook onto? Or is he buried down in Complex Under, trying to find way out? Those special memories are all in there somewhere, waiting to be stirred. But I can't retrieve them. They were voice-coded. Oh, he's dead as proof, I know it. But how dead is proof? If I punched it just once more and said, "Hi, Mike," would he answer, "Hi, man. Heard any good ones lately?" Been a long time since I risked it. But he can't really be dead. Nothing was hurt. He's just, lost. Are you listening, Bog? Is a computer one of your creatures? Too many changes. May go to that talk-talk tonight and toss in some random numbers. Or not. Since Boom started, quite a few young cobbers have gone out to asteroids. Hear about some nice places up there. Not too crowded. My word. I'm not even 100 yet. This concludes the reading of The Moon is a Harsh Mistress by Robert Heinlein. Copyright 1965 by Robert Heinlein. This unabridged recording of the reading of The Moon is a Harsh Mistress was published by arrangement with Spectrum Literary Agency and was produced in 1999 by Blackstone Audiobooks Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audiobooks. This book was read by Lloyd James. If you would like to obtain a mail-order catalog or additional information about our growing line of audiobooks, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.